Welcome to Plans Are Booked, a podcast for every reader. I'm Molly Gallup.
I'm Stephanie Blackburn.
And I'm Caitlin Madison. And we can finally talk about the trailer of The Idea of You because it's out. And I watched it like 8 hours ago, and these bitches would not let me talk about it all day until we got to the podcast. So now we're finally doing it. Hallelujah.
I pre-ordered the album.
I already have the first single on my phone.
I have to say that when I saw that they were doing music,
I didn't see that that was a thing, and I am dead.
Yeah, when I saw that they were doing music a la Daisy Jones and the Six, I was like, I bet you Stephanie either is gonna order this or has already hit sold, add to cart.
Didn't even know it was a thing. Wow.
Wow. It's a full album.
Let's back it up a hair for the people, okay? We came in hot on this. Welcome to episode 20 of Plans Are Booked. 20.
Thank you. We did 20.
Thank you to everyone who has been listening and liking and sharing and leaving reviews. We are so, so, so grateful to you. And we have a packed conversation for you today, starting with The Idea of You movie trailer.
Sorry that I barged in. This is how I feel about it. The trailer came out. Nicholas Galitzine, I'm sorry. What's the word I'm looking for?
Are you about to offend me?
Degrade him, basically. Oh. But like, what a
objectify?
Piece. He's such a piece. Like, he's so gorgeous in the trailer. He's perfect for the movie. Like, 100%. Also, we knew Anne Hathaway was going to be perfect. Like, we already knew. Mm-hmm. But like, Nicholas Galitzine, like, the accent, the way they dressed him, he's singing in it. He's smoldering. The whole thing is just ridiculous. So from the go, you're like, okay, we've got something on our hands here. But as I'm watching the trailer.
Time out. How many times have you watched it so far?
3 times.
Same.
Only twice. Okay. So you don't have to be ashamed. So I'm just going to say, I watched it and I was like, this looks like such a fun movie. And the book is like not necessarily a fun book. Like, we all know what the ending is. And
it broke my heart.
Yeah. And then I went on Twitter and people were like, this looks awesome and not like the book. Like, everybody that read the book was like, what is this? And then my friend Steph, who listens, well, she maybe listens to the podcast, but she's been reading the books that we've been suggesting, is like halfway through The Idea of You right now because she knew it was on our list and she said it sounded interesting to her. And she saw the trailer and she goes, they don't even meet the same way. Like, in the trailer, that's already different. And then I said, I feel like the daughter isn't even going to be an issue in the movie.
I will say we don't necessarily know what the movie is going to be like because of the trailer, because trailers can be misleading. But on that same token, the book is all about the secrecy, the hiding, the like not telling the daughter, trying to figure out how she's going to tell the daughter, putting off telling the daughter, hiding from paparazzi. And instead, in the trailer, the paparazzi are there from the get-go.
That is correct. So people who read the book are like, WTF, and people who haven't read the book are like, this looks freaking awesome. And there's no in between.
Also,
at all.
Her best friend is, I don't think she's part of it. If you saw the sign for the gallery, isn't the gallery's name their two last names together?
Yeah, it is. And it's not in the trailer.
Correct. And there was no image of her. I did not see the best friend.
And this is where I start drinking. We have drinks because it's the 20th. Cheers.
Slanchava.
So I had to sit on this all day. All day I had to sit on this. I have a friend that's going to be at South by Southwest. He's going to go to the after party for it. I said, are you going to go see the movie? He said, no. I said, okay. I didn't really know what to say. What am I going to say? Yeah, you should. You're a dude. You should definitely go see The Idea of You. You're going to love it. So I just like left it alone. And then I sent him the trailer with no comment today. And he was like, okay, this actually looks pretty good. So like, they really might have something on their hands here. Like, maybe it should have gone to the movie theater is all I'm going to say.
I haven't watched a third time, but my take is that it seems like they leaned into the age difference as the illicit thing. Like, to Steph, come back to what you were saying about in the book, it's so much about the secrecy and the hiding and hoping nobody finds out what they're doing. in the trailer, it looks like the issue is the age gap, not the fact that she's worried about her career or what's going to happen with her daughter. And that is what they decided to center it around, which I think, if that turns out to be right, is really going to change the whole tone of the story. The other thing I was worried about before even pressing play was like, are they really going to have chemistry? Like, I just don't know. And even though we'd seen some of the still photos from the set, I just didn't know. But when I watched the trailer, I was like, oh, this works. Like, I feel excited about the idea of seeing them on screen together for the whole arc, whatever it turns out to be. And I also think whoever was in that writer's room definitely was a boy band fan growing up, because that piece of it seems extremely accurate.
August Moon has her own Instagram. I don't know if you've gone on it.
Oh, I have.
Okay.
Wow. You've been holding out. You're way ahead. Soundtrack purchased, Instagram fake band followed. Whoa.
It just reminded me of the promo for Daisy Jones. And I couldn't get enough of that. I was like, I want to see what the vinyl record looks like. I want to follow every single thing they're doing. They treated it like it was a real band. And that's obviously the same treatment that this is getting, which I think is freaking brilliant.
Yep. Well, I'm going to enjoy the movie and pretend that the book just never existed is, I think, how I'm going to play it. I think I'll enjoy it the most that way. And also, I was not like a super fan of the book, so it's not like I had my heart set on something. You know what I mean? Now,
yeah.
The other thing I will say is, I forget who the person was. I should have paid more attention to give them credit, but somebody on Twitter was like, they retweeted the trailer, and they were like, if this trailer has the ending from the book, that's not going to work for me. Because this trailer seems like a rom-com. And if I'm going to go watch a rom-com, then it better be a rom-com. And it better not somehow like pivot to the ending from the book, because that will not work for me.
I think I'm going to have to go into it as them being two separate things. I mean, the book I absolutely loved. I mean, I read it twice. I reread it before we recorded the episode about it. It broke my heart, but it was the perfect ending for the book. And also I didn't picture Anne or Nicholas while I was reading the book. But I think that this can be a separate thing where we can have different but similar feelings. And if it deviates from the book, that doesn't take away from how good the book is. It's just like a different thing.
I feel like it helps to think of it as like inspired by, as opposed to like, this is the film version of The Idea of You. It's like, this is a movie inspired by the book, The Idea of You. And I feel like if we approach it from that vantage point, we won't be as enraged if they've changed like absolutely everything about it.
I mean, I'm still planning to be home that entire first week and watch it once a day.
Normal. That sounds normal for you. Also, if you haven't seen Purple Hearts and you're just discovering Nicholas Galitzine now, watch Purple Hearts, because you're going to love him if you don't already.
There's a lot of stuff he's in. You should go back and watch everything.
For sure. Want
to talk about his new show that you've been fangirling over?
But I haven't watched it.
It's not coming out in the U.S., I think, until April.
You can't get it on Stars right now? Mary and George? It's on Stars, I'm pretty sure.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought U.S. Stars didn't start until April. If that's not true, then I'm staying up very late tonight.
I can look into that for you, but okay. I think that I'm right, but I'm not sure. And that's the show that he's in with Julianne Moore, and it's supposed to be awesome. And
that's like my favorite period. So
I forget if it was Rolling Stone magazine or another magazine, but they said Julianne Moore was delicious in it and that it's a raucous good time.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Because she basically pimps her son out to like stay within the royal family. That's like the whole premise of the show. And she pimps him out to like other men, and he's not gay. And it's like, that's like the scandal and the like. So that's him. That's who he's playing in that one. But what I was going to say is, I follow a music producer for Apple Music. She like produces a bunch of their podcasts and a lot of their content. And she's never read the book before, and she posted the trailer and was like, before you ask me, I already ordered the book, and this is about to become my entire personality, because I think she's like 41. And I wrote her a note, and I was like, don't let me get bangs. because I feel like I'm gonna watch. I'm like turning 39 in like 2 weeks, and she's just like out there like playing a 40-year-old, making out with this guy that like I've loved him for like how long have we loved him now? Like 2 or 3 years. We've been like following his career, and he's like finally blowing up, and I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna become.
Oh my god, we didn't even mention Red, White, and Royal Blue. Like we just didn't mention
it. Freaking awesome in it. He's so good in it. He's great.
I was like, wait, we've seen him in more things. Why is there a gaping hole in that list? And that's it.
Oh, well, when I was telling Chris, who's going to be at South by Southwest, about it, like before the trailer came out, I was like, yeah, and the guy can actually sing. He was like, you know, in Cinderella with. I was like, wow, Caitlin, you sound really cool right now. But it's true. He can sing. He has a single that I have on Spotify. It's great. I think we're all going to enjoy it if we just separate it a little bit from the book, I think.
I also am just thinking about how the steam level in the book is quite high. And I'm just feeling like based on the trailer, that is not what we're going to wind up seeing.
It is rated R.
I mean, the little like 10-second clip where he's playing the piano and then she's in his lap and trying not to kiss him. I was like, yeah, give me more of that.
That was a great clip.
I think it's going to be good. She jumps up against the wall
in the alley.
That, yes. But did you see towards the end, she like catapults across the room into his arms?
I saw it all. I saw all those moments. And I was like, are we getting like the PG version for the trailer? And there's going to be more when we really watch it. Also, it is going straight to Prime Video, meaning at home. Which I feel like probably they could get away with more than if they decided to do a theater release.
True.
I mean, not that the rating changes. I just think in terms of like a studio head being like, how risky is this?
Well, except that Red, White, and Royal Blue is it's a saucy book, and it was not so saucy on Prime.
I mean, don't think that Anne Hathaway is going to go half-assed on this one.
True.
I really don't. I think she's going to be like, this is for all the people in their 40s that are like coming into their own, and I'm doing it, and you're all going to be jealous of me. Watch.
Also, I can't remember. I think we were all together when we like learned or realized that Gabrielle Union is a producer on this, which I didn't know at first. I feel like she also would be like, yes, go in the direction of like full female empowerment, like pleasure, everything. She's just, that's the type of person she is.
Correct. This is really kind of funny, but at lunch today, I was talking about this with my coworkers, which includes my brother. And we were talking about the trailer and whatever, and, you know, things come up at lunch. And he was just kind of laughing, and he was like, he's like, of course there's a movie where it's like about One Direction and some desperate person like wrote this on the internet and then it became like a movie. Like, of course this happened. And I was like, yeah, I was like, you know, it's kind of funny. If you think about like if somebody pitched this movie with opposite gender roles, it would not get made. So if the singer was like a Taylor Swift and like a 14-year-old girl's dad goes to Coachella and then ends up dating the Taylor Swift character, like studio execs would be like, no, that's, we're not making that. We've already seen that happen in real life. We're good. We don't need it. But like Anne Hathaway is like, I'm making this movie, and I really don't think that she's going to go any more than full tilt and any less than full tilt as a result.
I'm really excited for May 2nd. That's all I'm going to say.
It should be good. This isn't why we came together today. We came together to talk about graphic novels and to have Molly open her special surprise wrapped book that she got at the Bougie bookstore.
So for a while now, I've been following this account, the Bougie bookstore. And if you guys follow us on Instagram, you've seen a bunch of their content. And I never actually set foot in it. And I was like, I got to do this. I got to get there. Everything's pink. They're huge Swifties. I was like, I just have to experience this in person. It's in a town called Norwood, Massachusetts, if you're not local to here. It's like 25, 30 minutes south of Boston. And it is in this like mill building, basically, that was redone as this incredible shopping mecca. For those who have been to Crompton Collective in Worcester, Mass., it's very similar, like stalls with different vendors, a lot of vintage stuff. So the bookstore is inside of there. They have blind date books, which has become my new obsession. Like every bookstore that I go to, I see these wrapped books and I'm just like enamored by them. I want to see what the descriptions are. I want to see how they're decorated. All the ones in this bookstore are wrapped in pink paper. They are like bedazzled. The one that I purchased happens to have like beautiful calligraphy, handwriting, and hearts drawn on them. But there were ones with like legitimate like gems and jewels and glitter. It's just obvious that the people that run this bookstore care deeply and are big readers. And I feel like would be friends of this podcast. Hopefully someday we could have them on. So I looked at every single one they had on this huge rotating rack. And in the end, I picked one that says contemporary romance, an influencer who gets canceled, goes to work at her uncle's business, small town vibes, and a closed door romance.
I don't think I've heard of that plot in any of the books I know of.
Caitlin thinks she might know what it is before I unwrap it. Do you want to share your guess or you want me to unwrap it and then say if you were correct?
What do you want me to?
I want to hear what you think it is.
I think it's called Famous for a Living by Melissa Ferguson.
Haven't heard of that.
Okay, here we go.
None of us have the fake nails to do the TikTok click clack on the whatever.
Sorry, guys, no ASMR nail opening, just my actual nail.
Okay.
This book is called, ooh, careful, tape on the cover. Oh my, Caitlin
did it.
Yes.
I mean, the cover is doing it for me.
Yeah, I don't know all the details about this book, but I think like her uncle owns something in the woods and she works for him. And then this lumberjack type dude is there.
Okay, I'm just going to read you the first paragraph of the back. When her business partner is accused of serious financial crimes, superstar influencer Kat Cranwell, an engineered marvel of beauty, energy, and fun, falls from her penthouse perch. Desperate to get away from online trolls and paparazzi documenting her disgrace, Kat accepts her uncle's offer to work with him in Cannery National Park, Montana, about as far from her life as she's known it.
I mean, this basically sounds like if that chick from Glossier was forced to hide in the woods at her uncle's whatever and met a guy. So this is perfect for you.
Will I be reading this? Hell to the yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's like got Molly written all over it.
I was delighted. I just feel like sometimes you see the descriptions and they're very fun to read, but like nothing really speaks to you. And I saw this one and I was like, oh my God.
But see, like Steph liked the cover and like that's a cover that I'm like, oh my God, I have to bring this up to the register. It's like, could I be any more clear? Yeah, here I are you wondering if I'm single? Because I am. Like that's like that's what these covers say to me. And so like I would love to just buy based on a description, because that is one scenario where I'm like on a level of like 1 to 20, like how bad is this on the like embarrassing cat lady scale.
I do think that the wrapped books are such a good conversation starter in line or at the register. Because like even the people who work at the store, unless they're the one who wrapped it, they don't even know what it is.
I'm into it. I'm very into it. I've never bought one before.
Well, I think we should do a group trip to the bougie bookstore in the future.
It is very into that. Fun.
Yeah, the Swifty stuff is amazing. Like, I just feel that the women that own this place are kindred spirits to us. And they actually had the Taylor Swift version of the glass cups that I got you. The ones that say books are my love language, they also make ones where it's spines of books. And they did the book spines as if they were all of her albums. And they sell it there.
I've seen that too. That's awesome. So for our 20th episode, we decided to, similar to the cookbooks episode, do a genre as opposed to an author or a particular book. And we are chatting about graphic novels, which I don't think that Molly and Steph read that many graphic novels before, maybe.
I mean, I read Mouse and Mouse 2 in school, and that was pretty much it.
Yep.
The one I read for homework for this episode was my very first one.
Oh, wow. Whoa, I did not know that. I thought you had read Mouse. Okay.
That's
so amazing. So I love graphic novels. I definitely got more into them when I became a teacher, because being a middle school English teacher, there are a lot of kids that like don't really like to read. They've got turned off from reading. They don't get a lot of choice over what they read. And so reading becomes a chore that they don't enjoy, and it's really sad, and they basically see it as like a task or a punishment as opposed to like this joyous, awesome thing. And graphic novels and like manga and like all of that, anything that's like more visual and like establishes like a cool world of some sort and is like less text is like really up the alley of a lot of middle school or like adolescent non-readers. And so I have gotten back into them as a teacher, and then I've also taken some classes where they're like the graphic novel genre is very diverse. So if you're looking to get like more voices in your classroom, like there's definitely a ton of diverse authors that are getting published in the graphic novel world. So that's like one venue that you can take. And there's just been a lot of cool like memoirs and good coming of age stories. Obviously, Heartstopper is like one that everybody knows right now. And I feel like there's, I don't know if I would call it a resurrection, but I just feel like there are a ton of good graphic novels right now being published, like in the last couple years. And I have really enjoyed kind of getting back into it and seeing what people can do with it. And the way that they can tell really powerful stories in concise ways that are mainly dialogue. I think it's a really cool way to get some conversation started about things that you might not want to read a 400-page book about, but you might be willing to dive in via a graphic novel. So yeah, and a bunch of them are like becoming TV shows and movies, and it's really cool because I think one of the really fascinating things about graphic novels is, especially with Heartstopper, if you read the graphic novels and watch the show, you can see how each of the panels basically is set up for a movie scene perfectly. Like when you adapt a book into a movie, you draw out all the scenes and they have them plastered. They have storyboards like all over the place and the storyboards are already made. So I think we're going to start seeing more and more of them being adapted into film and TV shows. And I think it's going to be awesome. What did you guys read?
I read in two sittings Good Talk by Mira Jacob. I'm going to pass this to Molly afterwards because I think she would love it. It made me laugh. It also made me cry. It is a beautiful sort of memoir broken down into conversations she has with her son. Mira is Indian. Her husband is Jewish. And it takes place prior to 2016. So her son is coming to her asking questions about racism, you know, things he's overheard them talk about. And she draws the images of her husband and her kid don't really change, but they are backlit by scenes of New York City, which are beautiful. And some of them repeat. It's also her story of growing up in New Mexico, but it's growing up being the only Indian family, or I think they were one of three in their town. And it's just beautiful. And also the questions from her son are just like stereotypical kid questions. Like there's a whole bit in there about knock-knock jokes because he's trying to understand knock-knock jokes. It's just, it's innocent. It's it hurts you. It like cuts to the bone. I wanted to just like hug this whole family. There's a lot of tough conversations in here, but it's beautifully done. And I feel like any age, even like a parent reading this to the kid, I feel like would be fantastic to have the kids sort of understand the questions maybe they're asking themselves. So yeah, this was sort of like a political one, but also I don't remember the one that Molly read, even though I read it.
Okay, so the one I read is called Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me. Before I even opened it, I was like, I'm going to love this because this is obviously a high school romance. I just knew it. Visually, the book is all shades of white, black, gray, and then this like, it's not right to call it hot pink. What color would you call this?
Emerald or salmon?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's this pinky color. And as you can imagine, that color is used to express certain emotions, to show things that are like excited or joyful, and also things that are like overwhelming. And even though I was reading the dialogue and loving it and completely hooked, I was also like, oh my God, like the visual meaning behind the color choices in this thing. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like I need to read it again and only look, like not read the words, just look at the illustrations and why they chose things that they chose. To your earlier point about like accessibility to bigger or more heavy topics, this is mostly about a breakup, but it's also about like gay and lesbian relationships. There's someone who's deciding whether or not to get an abortion. They're like pretty serious topics in here, and they kind of like sneak in. You sort of like don't even realize that it's happening because it's just like beautiful and so fun to read. And then there was one page that I took a picture of in case I couldn't find it again, but I just did find it. That says, the hardest part of all of this, aside from the astounding fact that being dumped feels like food poisoning, is the fact that I'm always losing a person who is just there. Like, she's gone, but she's not gone. I can still smell her deodorant on my sheets. I was like, just kill me. Like, I feel like it's the tiniest little text bubble, but full of like so much emotion and teen angst. And I just couldn't get over how like profound it felt, even though visually it's kind of like joyful and bouncy and all over the place. It definitely made me want to read more, and I read this entire thing in under an hour. Like, I couldn't stop. I just wanted to know what was gonna happen.
And I think that it's so cool the way that you just described that, because I think that that's how a lot of people feel when they first read a graphic novel, is like you're taking everything in. Like, it's so unusual with a book to get visuals for grown-up feelings. You don't get that. It doesn't happen with picture books for kids. It's like these stories and there's a moral and like it's illustrated and like that makes a lot of sense. But things aren't illustrated when you're an adult. And so to have these like big angsty moments or these like really big conversations about race with your son and his identity and like all of those things, and then to have it like basically animated for you as you're reading it, packs such a punch. But when kids first start reading graphic novels, they can't articulate that yet. So it was really cool to hear you say how you were encountering it and experiencing it, because you're the first adult I know that had not read one before. So that was actually really cool, and I wasn't expecting that. These are all my books. So I've read a lot of them, but I also brought a couple of other ones. I mean, I could talk about Heartstopper all day, but I'm not going to. It's powerful. It doesn't have, I feel, as much wording as other ones do. The paneling is really cool. She's been able to make 5 volumes of the same love story. It's really compelling. The friendships are awesome, et cetera, et cetera. So good. Read it. Do it. All of it. I just read a new one called Lunar New Year Love Story. I have a friend who, I won't say who it is, but I have a friend who texted me and said, I saw this book in a bookshop window and thought, what a hideous cover. And I had this book at work the other day because I hadn't finished it yet and was sitting on my desk. And my brother walked by and he goes, what's that about? What an appealing cover.
Yeah, disagree. That's beautiful.
This color apparently is like very polarizing, but it's very bright. It's like, it shows a boy and a girl that are Asian. It has swirling red, like mystical ghost-y
swirls. I would say constellations.
Okay, that's not what it is, and I know that, so I can't really say that, but it's like purple and pink and red, and it's very vibrant, and the people in this book meet each other because they're learning how to do lion dancing, and some of the kids are Vietnamese and some of them are Chinese and some of them are Korean, and they're all kind of coming together to do this like Lunar New Year dance thing that they can do at festivals. They do it at people's weddings. They do it at all sorts of like big Asian community events, and they're all in high school, and this girl ends up liking a boy, and kind of in the same vein of Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me, she kind of ends up liking this boy that's like kind of a player, and he never really like commits to being her boyfriend, and she's always just kind of like out in the lurch about like, are we dating? Is this serious? I don't really know. And then he has a cousin who's like really nice, and like she finally kind of notices him like halfway through. And the other boy, his dad has passed away, and he's dealing with the grief of that. And she has grown up without a mother because her mom abandoned her and her dad. And so they both kind of like connect about that. And then she has like issues with a girlfriend. Like, it has a little bit of everything in it. And it's really well done. And I would say, like, out of all the graphic novels I've read, this one took me the longest because it has like the most text out of any graphic novel that I've read. Visually stunning, super compelling, has a little bit of everything. I think that, honestly, if I'm being like kind of brutal about it, I think that the title stinks and that it's going to turn a lot of people off from how good it is, because it looks like a frou-frou. It says love story in the title, but it's all different kinds of love, I think, is what people need to understand. It talks about parental love, friendship love, romance love, missing people, that kind of love. Like, it has a lot of different things in it. So I don't really love the title. I already talked about There's a Time for Everything, which was the one that I read for my class, where the boy goes on the European trip and has his first girlfriend, and it's adorable. And then another one that I just got that I haven't read yet is called In Limbo, and it deals with the main character is a Korean American girl, and she is dealing with some personal mental illness. And her Korean family is not very like understanding of her social emotional needs, because culturally there's a barrier there. And so that's what this one is about. And it has another beautiful cover where the girl is floating in water that's like a watercolor rainbow. And I saw this on the shelf and was like, I have to buy it. Like, I'm not leaving this store without this book. And the professor of the class that I just took also recommended this, because it was a class about social justice and diverse authors and all that good stuff. And so I haven't read that one yet, but that's the next one on my list.
It's the one that you lent me a couple of years ago that I read that was beautiful. The family.
The Best We Could Do.
Thank you.
That was about an Asian family immigrating to America. That's a really good one. I don't know who I lent that to. Maybe my brother. No, actually, maybe it's at school. I have multiple libraries. It's an issue.
Well, that's a good one for all ages, too.
It's a really, really good one, about just the immigration experience and then, like, going to school here and, like, not knowing how to speak English and how kids treat you. And that one packs a pretty big punch. And then the other one, I don't know if I made you read this or not. I got it from the library. It's called The Prince and the Dressmaker.
Nope.
It's about, it's another one that deals with gay relationships. I don't want to give anything away because that one has like a lot of fun twists in it, but basically there's a dressmaker who is at the castle a lot making dresses and gets to know the prince. I'm going to leave it there.
Sounds lovely.
And it's really funny and really heartfelt, and like, the artwork is very like fairy tale-ish because it's like the setting is a castle, and like, but then the story is like very not, it's like a very contemporary story shown in a very old fashioned way. And the clash of the art and the content is awesome.
It sounds like Nicholas Galitzine's next role.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. So I just finished that book, so I feel like other people need to share what they're reading now, because I haven't started another something.
Well, in the royalty vein, I just finished The Cruel Prince, which was Instagram influenced to me. Couldn't have told you ahead of time what the plot was, because I don't think I knew, but I asked for it for Christmas. And as I was reading, I kept wondering, who did the author actually reference in this title? Because there are multiple cruel princes in this story. I don't think either of you is going to read this. This is about fairies.
I'm out. Thanks.
It's a YA story. It's about a human girl. She and her two sisters.
I love it when people
I love it when human. People have to qualify the girl with human. Like, that's when I know I'm not going to read it.
It's about a human girl.
It's about a human girl.
Not a dragon girl or a fairy girl.
Oh,
or a vampire girl.
But please, there. I'm sure we have listeners that are into this.
When she is 7, she and her twin sister and her older sister are hanging out at home, and a strange man comes to the door. She answers the door, lets him in. He murders their parents. And then it starts off with a bang.
Did not see that coming.
Yep. Takes the three of them to the land of Faerie, which is apparently across the ocean. This episode is fueled by a Prosecco.
I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be laughing, but it's just like, and then he just takes three random children across an ocean to the fairyland.
Well, it turns out that he's actually the biological father of their older sister. So their sister is half fairy. I've lost you. But anyways.
The plot thickens.
Fast forward, she's now, I think, like 17.
This kind of reminds me of that soap opera Passions back in the day. Did you
don't
watch
even start
that?
Because I watched every single episode.
Oh my god, you did not. Yes, I had friends that watched Passions, and I was like, they'd give me updates over lunch. I'd be like drinking a carton of milk, and they'd be telling me about it like this, and I'd be like, okay.
That was my gateway drug to soap operas, and then it went downhill from there. Anyways, so she and her sister are humans living among fairies, and they're now teenagers, and there's a lot of cruelty, like violent cruelty. There's a lot of intrigue. She is trying to find a place of safety where one of the princes will sort of take her into his court and protect her, because she could get murdered at any time. And there is one cruel prince who is her age, who is just constantly picking on her. It's not even picking on her. It's like violent picking on her, basically. I will say that I did not love it. I struggled with it, even though I didn't purchase it. I did enjoy it in the end. And if I didn't have an extensive TBR pile, I probably would order the next book just to see what happens. The other thing is, I need fairies right now because I am so stressed out. I'm about to tile, but I spent a week doing drywall and backerboard, and I needed something completely not of this world. So yeah, I read a book about fairies. The end.
That's fair. My book is not about fairies. Last week I mentioned that I was starting this book called Sex, Lies, and Sensibility. I arrived here tonight. I only have 13 pages left. I had such a busy work day. I was on Zoom for 1,000 hours, and I was so close to finishing. So I don't actually know what's going to happen at the very end. But I was, like, in on this book. And I will say, the two of you like a lot of, like, conflict and bumpy road to the end. And you are going to love this book.
Cannot wait.
I had moments where I was like, oh my god, I can't believe this is getting messed up again. I just wanted to like fast forward to the happy ending, which I don't even know if I'm gonna get, but it's a lot of like just conflict on the road to potentially being together. And it also took a long time for it to get like steamy, which surprised me when Allie Hazelwood, the author, was the one who recommended it. I thought surely this is gonna be like the sauciest of the saucy. Was, but it's so restrained the way she decides to include those moments where like you're waiting for it, you're waiting for it, you're waiting for it. It finally happens and it's like so much better than you even think it could be. This is a totally new author to me, Nikki Payne. It's making me want to read whatever else she has published. So if you're into romance with conflict, a dash of sauce, this is going to be for you.
I will say that I learned for the first time in the event that we went to, remember they said, I think someone posed a question, it might have been the host, do romance books always end with a happy ending? And all three authors said yes. So I'm assuming you're going to get the happy ending because it seems like maybe that's a requirement for romance books.
In 13 pages, we will know, and I'll text you tonight. It winds up happening. We talked about a lot of epic books in this episode. I beg of you, if you're not already following us on Instagram at Plans Are Booked, this is where we share
photos of all the books we discuss so you can see what cover you're looking for. We share a list of every single book that we mentioned during all of the episodes. They're saved to a highlight so you can find them again in the future. We do it for you. We want you to find all of the stuff that you're interested in and be able to have it at your fingertips. So give us a follow there. And shoot us a note if there's a book that you're reading and you love and you think we should read or you want us to talk about. Or if you have thoughts on the Idea of You trailer, we would love to hear it. And perhaps we'll share your thoughts on air if you feel so inclined to tell us how you feel.
Honestly, guys, I don't think I've had one book recommended to me. And I have influenced so many people to read books through this podcast. People keep telling me, oh, I'm reading this because like you guys talked about it on the pod. And my response is usually, one, you listen to the pod. And two, thank you so much. I feel like an influencer. But nobody is giving us book ideas. And I'm getting sick of it. Putting my foot down. 20 episodes. Somebody should give us some book recommendations.
Just write us a little love email. That's
yes,
all I'm asking.
Thank you. Oh my God. Just a quick note. Just to drop us a little Insta something. We'd love it. Until next time, our plans are booked. Bye.